This is the Perfect Pup Podcast, helping you build a better relationship with your pup, presented by Pupford. Hello and welcome to the Perfect Pup Podcast. My name is Devin. I'm extremely excited for today's episode, and let me tell you why. We have an awesome guest on today. We have Nick, and he is going to be talking with us today about the why behind our dogs' behaviors and just kind of thinking a little bit deeper as to, you know, why our dogs do the things that they do. It's a very, very important topic. Thank you so much, Nick, for coming on today.
Hey, no, my pleasure, man. I was so pumped when you guys reached out. My mission is to help as many pets and pet parents as I possibly can. So when you guys reached out, you guys share a similar mission. You're very health oriented. I was so pumped. I was through the roof. So thank you for the opportunity.
Of course. I'm excited. Let's get to it. But before that, I'm just going to give a little bit of a quick intro of Nick so you guys can kind of meet him per se. So in his own words, Nick says that he is an animal addict on a journey to learn everything he can about pet behavior, nutrition, products, all the things so that he can just help spread information about how we can be, in this case, better pup parents and have better relationships with our dogs, like he said. Before we started recording, you know, I got a little bit of Nick's story, just that he, you know, has been around all types of animals since a young age, and that really kind of led him on this path of just, you know, loving animals and wanting to understand their behaviors and how to work with them. So again, super excited to have you on, Nick. Anything I missed on that intro or any fun facts you want to add to it?
No, I think you dialed it, man. Yeah, I've been, ever since I was a little kid, I mean, I was the kid that was just constantly surrounded by animals, any and every animal. I just gravitated towards it. And it was definitely something that I always knew was going to be a huge part of my life. So when I made it my career, it, of course, you make passion your career, and it just, you never feel like you're working. And it's just the most fun thing in the whole world.
I agree. I'm in the same boat. I have a different story in the sense that I had no dogs growing up. My family was not pet people. And so as soon as my wife and I got a house, we're like, all right, let's go at this. And now we have three dogs. So I just made up for a childhood of no dogs, no animals with, I just went for it, and I have three. So I love it. Let's get right to it. So today's topic, I'm excited. It's going to be kind of like an interesting one because it's not like a specific behavior or a specific, you know, problem solution. It's kind of going a little bit more into, you know, how dogs think and how we should be approaching our dog's behavior. So, you know, first things first, myself personally, like in anything I do, business, marketing, right? That's my background. There's a lot of people talk a lot about understanding the why, or if you're trying to accomplish a goal, understanding the why. So with our dog's behavior, why is it important for us as pup parents to understand the why behind our dog's behaviors?
So it's very similar. And I'm glad you brought up the kind of like the business, the marketing standpoint, because it's extremely similar in that if you do not understand why you're doing something, it's very difficult to come up with a game plan. And when you're talking from a business standpoint, you're talking about, hey, look, if your mission is to create a very successful dog business, it doesn't make a lot of sense to start out with a cat product. So it's very much going to be one of those things where when you understand the why behind your dog's actions, it allows you to take responsibility for why that thing is happening and then come up with the most effective game plan you could possibly draw up and then try and make it as easy as possible for your dog to be successful so that you can get the best results as fast as possible.
I love that. And I think at the end of the day, that's kind of what everyone wants, right? Like we know that behavior takes time and it does take effort, but if we can speed up that process, we're all for it. So on that note, like maybe let's take an example of, I don't know, let's say leash pulling, for example, okay? You take your dog out and, you know, you watch all the movies, everyone goes out on these nice, calm walks and it's so relaxing and they look like they're having so much fun. And then you take your, you know, 50-pound derpy Labrador puppy out who's just yanking you around and you're like, this is not fun. This is not enjoyable. So like with the lens of looking at the why, like let's give an example to these pup parents, like why do dogs pull and like how can understanding why they pull, you know, like you said, give us the game plan as to how to overcome it.
Yeah, absolutely. So that is like such an incredible example, because you look at the movies, you think, oh, wow, that looks so nice. I want to get one of those. And you go and get something that maybe is a little too heavy, that sort of thing. You end up with them on the leash, and then they're just dragging you down the street. And every little distraction, they're pulling after squirrels and people and all of that sort of thing. And you start to just be like, what have I gotten myself into? If you sit there and you kind of think through, okay, well, I think this dog is doing this because let's say you go to the wrong area and you think, oh, he's being dominant, or he doesn't care about me, or he's just dumb and he doesn't get how to leash walk. You don't have a solution. You don't have a game plan that you can come up with based on, if you think your dog is dumb, you're just sat there being like, dang, I got one of the bad ones. Hmm. And that's not the case. And when you understand that the only reason that your dog is making that mistake, it's not an intelligence issue, it's a communication issue. And when that becomes the case, it allows you to take that responsibility, and it gives you this opportunity to say, okay, well, at the moment, my Labrador is coming up with his way of how he would like to walk on leash. And that is chase squirrels, chase people, jump up on people, lick every person that passes by, and that sort of thing. And maybe you're not okay with that. So if that's the case, all you have to do is think about, all right, what would be a way that I could make it so easy for him to be successful that then I can reward that success over and over and over, and then start to stretch it out so that he actively wants to be doing what I want him to do. And when we get those two things to line up perfectly, we're going to end up in a place where the dog is actively trying to walk on a loose leash right next to us, walking past squirrels and dogs and people and that sort of thing, and actually looking to us for permission to say, hey, can I meet that person? And you can say, oh, you know what? Yeah, absolutely. This guy wants to say hi to you. Go over there, get all the love you want. And the dog will actually know how to do it because you took the time to show them, hey, this is how I would like you to perform that behavior.
I love that. I love the idea too of that in most cases, it's probably a lack of communication where we haven't even explained it to our dogs yet of like, hey, this is what I want you to do. We just, in our mind, say, this is what I want. It's obvious what I want. Like, my dog should just get it. And I don't know why we fall into that trap as dog parents, because I think we've all done it at one time or another, right? But like, I love that it's about communication, and really like training our dogs is about communicating with them and effectively communicating. So I hadn't planned for this, but I have a question about that then. And like, if it's about communication, and if it's about, you know, we haven't maybe taught our dogs what we actually want them to do, like, how do you approach communication? Like, what are a couple ideas or like tips that you have to just more effectively communicate with your dog? Because, you know, newsflash, we don't speak the same language. Like, they can understand some words, right? But like, it's hard to, you know, give all of our dogs the information that we want them to consume. So, you know, what are a couple ideas that you have for how we can more effectively communicate with our dogs?
Yeah, absolutely. So with something like that, we're essentially looking at, dogs are incredibly intelligent animals. And the best part about them being incredibly intelligent is that we can sit there and look at how they decide on what they do and don't want to do. And it's not too different than us. And it's essentially going to be that if something results in something good happening for them, they're going to be more likely to repeat that behavior again in the future. So in the case of your dog and leash pulling, he's pulling and he wants to get to the squirrel. And by pulling, he gets closer to the squirrel faster. He then learns, pulling gets me closer to the squirrel faster. I'm going to continue pulling in the future. And what we want to do is, if we want to invert that, we could actually show him that what we want to set up is a scenario where we can tell him, by using a verbal or some type of sound to mark a behavior, anytime we have that ability, most people will see it in the form of a clicker. For myself, I personally use like a very excited, like, yes. And that tells the dog, the behavior you were performing when you heard that yes is why the treat is showing up. And then it starts to show them that for walking on a nice loose leash next to me, you can earn yourself a treat. And the best part about doing something like that is it allows me to focus exclusively on exactly what I want my dog to be doing, as opposed to focusing on a negative side where it's like, I don't want him pulling, but that doesn't tell him what I do want him to do. So when I set something up like that, it allows me to set up a situation where I can say, okay, I'm going to yes and treat this guy for every second that he's walking on a nice loose leash on this walk. And if I start out like that, it starts to form into a habit. And as it forms into a habit and the little guy is just right next to you, like, this is the greatest thing I've ever done. I'm going to keep doing this all day. And you start to fade the treats. And later you start to say, okay, now it's not every 1 second that he's holding a nice pace right next to me on a loose leash. Now it's every 3, 5, 10, 20. And you start to space it out. Then suddenly that habit forms and he knows that the best way to get him to the things that he wants and get all of the stuff that he enjoys is to hold that nice loose leash position. And it just makes things just fly as far as your training speeds go, because rather than you trying to convince him not to pay attention to the distractions or that sort of thing, instead, he's actually actively choosing to ignore them and focusing on you. And you're just going to get such incredible results that it just starts to feel almost effortless.
That's super powerful. And it's funny, I think our listeners can relate to this as well. The past 3-4 interviews we've done about X, Y, and Z different topic, right? With handful of different trainers, the theme that always pops up is focus on what you want them to do, not what you don't want them to do. And I think that's the biggest trap we get into as pup parents is it's like, there are a lot of things that are hard. There are a lot of things that can drive you up a wall where it's like, why are they biting? Or they're chewing things, or they went potty, or, you know, again, leash walking, like we get so hung up on the bad and like the negative. And I think we forget, honestly, I think we just forget to realize like, hey, what do I want them to do instead of jumping up on my guess? Well, maybe it's, I want them to go on a bed and lay calmly. And so it's like, let me teach that. And I think that mindset switch is like, I love that we repeat it every time we do a podcast because it's so important and I don't think enough people do it. So I really am glad that you brought it up in that sense as well, that it's like, it is a mindset of like, I want my dog to do good things. So learning dog behavior. So like when we look at like the words dog psychology or behavior modification, it can be overwhelming, right? It feels scientific. And for some people, like, that's just not their cup of tea. Like they might not be a very logical like thinker. They might, you know, there's different personality types, all those types of things. So like, what advice do you have? Or like, how can pup parents, you know, without reading a million books or like getting a PhD in, you know, animal sciences, like what can people do today that can just help them better understand how their dogs think and the why behind the behaviors?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's so easy to get lost in the details. I mean, it's, you never want to be like at a coffee table with two trainers if you're not one, because we will just geek out for just hours and you're like, wow, this is getting painful. And it's definitely something that we love to get into those nuances, but you don't want to be doing that with clients, because like you said, it's just going to go just clean over your head, or people are going to end up in a situation where they're going to be like, cool, now I'm overwhelmed. What do I do now? Like, even though he explained it to me, I just have no clue where to go from here. And I always tell people it's actually fairly simple, and it's going to be essentially, they are going to perform a behavior. If it results positively, they're going to be more likely to perform that behavior again in the future. So if you ever see, whether it be a behavior you want or a behavior you don't want, you start to see them increasing in frequency, you know that somewhere, somehow, that behavior is being reinforced. And it's going to be, the things that can reinforce a behavior can be so simple. It can be that they got access to a human, they got access to attention, they got access to a treat, whatever it may be, as long as something awesome follows the behavior, they're going to be more likely to repeat that behavior again in the future. On the other side, if you start to see where a behavior is happening all the time that you don't want to happen, you can ensure that it doesn't increase in frequency by thinking of how can I prevent that from happening again in the future? And then also coming up with a game plan for how are you going to interrupt it the next time if it does happen? Mm. And I see that all the time with people in the case of, okay, the dog is barking. The people will, they want the dog to stop barking, but they turn to it, they say no. And it turns out the dog was barking for attention. So when you turn to it, you said no, you tried to use a verbal language that the dog doesn't understand. In their world, they just got rewarded because they wanted your attention. You turned to them and then you looked right at them and talked to them. That then in their world is, I just got it correct. If instead we want to see that decrease, we would want to set up a situation where we practice that exact scenario and reinforce the dog before they ever start messing up by yesing and treating them for being quiet in that exact scenario. If I can prevent the error from ever happening, I'm in the best case. But if I have that plan for interruption, they start to bark, I make a sound, it interrupts that dog's barking, they pause, it allows me to yes and treat that moment of silence, and you will be able to select with that yes or the click and then the treat what behaviors you want to influence your dog to repeat again in the future, as well as the lack of a click or the lack of a positive outcome is going to tell your dog, well, this behavior is not working anymore to get me the thing that I want. So I'm going to stop performing it. And instead, I'm going to go from barking to laying down at dad's feet to see if maybe this works better. And when it does, they're going to get rid of that barking and they're going to decide to actively be quiet and do the behavior that you've been looking for this whole time.
Mm, that's incredible. And again, I love like kind of pulling my own insights, but it's, you have to be proactive. You can't just yep. let your dog dictate what's going to happen around them and in your like in your interactions with them. You have to be proactive and, like you said, have a plan, be prepared, know how you're going to approach situations. And I think that's so important. And I think for all of us, we can, you know, it doesn't have to be a written out plan, but you need to know. You need to know if, you know, if I'm on a walk and I see a dog and I know that my dog might react, like, what is my plan going to be? How am I going to deal with this? Like what are the steps going to be that I'm going to take? And I think when you combine that with what you were talking about previously with, like, you know, if it's reinforced, it'll repeat more frequently. And so I think, you know, that the combination of like having a plan, knowing what I want to do to reinforce and knowing what I don't want to be reinforced makes such a huge difference. So for our pup parents out there, I can mentally see some of them who are like, okay, this sounds great, but like, it's hard to remember. Like, it's hard to, you know, when you do have guests come over and your dog is jumping up and it's embarrassing and you just feel like, how am I ever going to deal with this? Like, what do you say to those pup parents who are like, it's hard to remember in the moment. It's hard to, you know, retrain my own brain, you know, let alone while I'm trying to retrain my dog's brain. Like, do you have any advice for that side of things?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So it's probably going to be the most common thing is most of us will get the idea in theory. And I always tell people it's like reading about pushups. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can read about them all you want, but until you go out there and you get those repetitions, you simply aren't going to get the results you're looking for. When we're talking about something like pet training, it really does come down to, okay, it's going to be in the moment. You're going to be overwhelmed. Your attention is going to be divided. And you are going to just get so frustrated with training if that's the only time you train. What I recommend people do is set up the scenario that you know your dog struggles with. And instead of just falling into it and being like, oh my gosh, I've got to react. Instead, you want to set it up where you can control all the variables and train that over and over and over and over until it looks exactly the way you want it in training. And then you can start to say, okay, now that I've taken the time to go through the education phase, now let's go see if we can jump into the application phase and see if we can actually use this on the street, outside, walking past a totally untrained dog that my dog has never come in contact with, that sort of thing. And when you go from the education phase to the application phase, you're going to have repetition on your side because you're going to fall back on all the repetitions you've already done. And it has now become motor memory. Your brain is just doing it without you even really having to think about it. And your dog already knows the routine. The only thing that they have to realize is that, holy cow, I did not know that this game works outside too, and that it works not only in the backyard, but in the front yard as well. And when we're at the park, holy cow, this is the greatest game of all time. I want to play this everywhere we go. And as that starts to happen, you feel more comfortable. Your dog feels more comfortable. Everybody gets more confident, and that habit starts to form for both of you. And then as you fade those treats, it just starts to be, holy cow, this is what I wanted him to do the whole time anyway. And he's actively doing it. You're able to relax, and it just gets so much easier.
So you're telling me it takes effort.
Oh, it's going to take a little bit of effort, tiny bit.
and again, I think like us as humans, unfortunately, a lot of times we go for the path of least resistance, right? And we look for what's easiest. And, you know, I don't think dog training necessarily is like an extremely complicated thing, but we can't just like take the easiest route. You have to put the practice in. You have to put the repetition in, like you're saying. And I think, you know, if nothing else, like even for myself on these podcast episodes, it serves as a reminder of like, oh, of course my dog isn't going to just stop being reactive on their own. I have to put the effort in. I have to put the time in. So I think it's a great reminder for all of us. I'm going to say I learned a lot on this episode, and I feel like there have been a lot of tangible things that I can take and apply to my own dogs and to my own dog training. So I am very appreciative of that. Is there anything additionally that you want to add to this episode, or for pup parents, you know, just about thinking about the why and understanding how our dogs behave?
Yeah. You know what? Typically the thing that I tell people is if there's ever a situation where you're not sure what to do, the very first thing I'm going to start with is, okay, first thing first, can I prevent that behavior from reoccurring again in the future? If I can, I want to put as many different plans into action to make sure that the undesirable behavior doesn't come back up. Then I want to think of, all right, what's my interrupter going to be in the case that it does pop up? When I have that, then I can start to say, all right, and what is my game plan for teaching this dog to do that thing? And when you use a situation where you're going to make it so easy for your pet to be successful that they can't possibly mess up, it allows you to reinforce them over and over and over. And your dog is going to be so excited to be performing that behavior because they're getting reinforced, that they're going to be actively doing exactly what you want. And it is going to make your life so easy. So always think through that phase. It's going to be the prevention. What is my interruption plan? And then what is my game plan to make it so easy for them to be successful that they can't possibly mess up? And you will see just a incredible result. The dog will get it so quickly. And you can always fall back to, well, if they're not getting it, how can I make it easier? And when you always think like that, you don't put blame on your dog. Well, he's dumb, or he's this, or he's that. He's being stubborn. That's not the case. It's always, how can I make it easier? Do I need to get a better treat? Do I need to make the time period shorter? Am I too close to the distraction? And when you start to think of how can I make it easier, you're going to set your dog up for success. You're going to feel like training is really easy, and they're going to breeze through it, and it's just going to be a blast.
I love it. And I think that's what we all want. We all want enjoyable, fun experiences with our dogs. And so the more that we can be prepared, the more that will happen. I love it. Thank you so much, Nick, for coming on. I have loved this. I know pup parents have learned a lot. For those of you who are listening or watching, we're going to include in the show notes, details, whatever you want to call it, links to connect with Nick, whether it be his website, his Instagram. We'll get all of it up there so that you can get in contact with him. You know, go follow him on Instagram and see, he puts out a lot of videos very consistently. So if you're looking for more information, you want to learn more, he is a great person to follow. So thank you so much again, Nick, for coming on the podcast today.
Oh, no, thank you so much, guys. It was a pleasure. I'm so happy to be a part of this positive reinforcement movement, as well as this healthy pet parent movement that I'm seeing. I love seeing healthy, nutritious treats coming from your end of things. It makes our lives so easy when we're trying to give our pets the very best that we can give them. We want to keep them nice and healthy. So it's so helpful to have some high quality products that we can count on. So thank you guys so much. I really appreciate what you're doing, and thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. I'm biased, but I think our treats are pretty awesome as well. So if you're listening on the podcast platform, please leave a review. I look at all of them. I love hearing the feedback because there's some things you might want to hear more about. If you have episode ideas, let us know. If you're on YouTube, like, subscribe, all those fun things. And we will catch you on the next episode.